All right, got a live band in the house. I'm just joking. Hi, welcome. I want to welcome you to In Christ Ministries International. This is Pastor Adam Gonzalez, and welcome to my podcast, Fight the Good Fight. Yeah, we praise in Jesus. So I hope you're doing good out there. I'm glad you can join in. We just want to give the praise and the honor to the Lord, for He is good at all times. And this is episode number one, as we are getting ready to venture out here and take this course, see where the Lord leads us and all this. And I want to begin by sharing with you core beliefs, my core beliefs in what I believe in ministry. So that way you understand my foundation, where I'm coming from. You have an understanding of my convictions, my foundation, and everything that I will teach and share will stem off of that. And so I want to first go through the what I believe in, and then secondly, kind of give you a background of my doctrine. And also I want to let you know that why I named this podcast the way I did, and also that I'll share some of my testimony with you about what God has done in my life. So first of all, I want to pray and ask God for His special blessing today. So will you pray with me as we invite God? Holy Spirit, we thank You in the name of Jesus. Ask You to wash us with the blood. Ask You to come and take this moment, Lord, and give this time to You, Jesus, to glorify You. Ask You that You will help us so we can live Your word, be with You, practice what we understand, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, bring understanding to us, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I want to start off with what I believe, my core beliefs, my foundation, you know. And so first of all, I want to share with you that I believe the Word of God is the complete authority of the Lord. All 66 books of the Word, right, from Genesis to Revelation, it's inspired by the Lord. Okay, and I believe that that God is the author of the Bible. I believe in the Godhead. I believe that God is three in one. That He is God manifested in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe also that Jesus was and is the Son of God, born of a virgin, and lived a sinless life, and died on the cross for the sins of the world. And He was buried, and 3 days He rose from the grave. I also believe in regeneration of the Holy Spirit, meaning one must be born again in order for him to make it to heaven. As Jesus said, in order for you to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And He alone gives that birth, the birth of heaven, regeneration of the Holy Spirit, which is to be born again. I believe in that. I believe also that the Spirit of God equips His people, the church, the body of Christ, with the gifts of the Spirit. I believe He gives and equips the believers with speaking in tongues, miracles, divine healings, prophecy. I believe that to this day it's manifested and it has not ceased. It is alive and well that the Spirit of God gives to who He wills. I also believe, another belief, core belief, is in the rapture of the church. And that the church that God, through his son Jesus, is going to take his people home soon. And it looks like it's sooner than later. So it's looking that way. But we don't know the time or day, but I know that he will rapture his church. He will take them out of this world. And the believer will not go through the great tribulation that's coming upon us in the near future. So we got to be ready for that. And I believe in the rapture of the church. So here I am. My name is Pastor Adam Gonzalez. And I am the founder of In Christ Ministry International. And we, under that, we want to welcome you to our podcast, Fight the Good Fight. My background comes from the Pentecostal doctrine. For the most part, and I don't really consider myself in titles, but that's where my doctrine stemmed from. Also, I take a stand with Arminianism. So you know, once again, where I'm coming from. And I don't really like to cling to those titles, because there's a wide range of subtle differences in how one carries themselves. And so I kind of distance myself from different issues within those organizations and church and, just like that. I mean, see, many will tend to categorize you with others as associates, you know, kind of like, one is like that, one, they're all like that, but there's very, everything differs, it varies from this place to that place of what I agree with or not with certain organizations of the Pentecostal. I do come from a strong doctrinal teaching-based ministry. My foundation come from San Antonio, Texas, under a pastor of Freddy Garcia, and through his ministry, also known as the Outcry in the Barrio, was my pastor, got trained under his ministry for many years. And but I will also say that not every Christian organization speaks for me. Just because a Christian or a pastor or leader of a church, even if he's popular, you know, speaks out and they think the whole Christian nation, he speaks for the whole Christian nation, and that is not true. So whether he's Baptist, evangelical free, or even some Pentecostals, even though I take much of the position of the Pentecostal, and like I said, it varies, but I don't go by what just one person say, I'm a Christian, and they say something nationally or publicly, that doesn't mean that we're covered all with the same blanket, because there's difference of opinions, there's difference of doctrine, difference of character, difference of attitude, you name it. I think you get the point. Even though I take much of the position of the Pentecostal, I'm not in agreement with programs like TBN, the Trinity Broadcast Network, or any charismatic or extreme charismatics that like many Word of Faith ministers or ministries, I'm strongly opposed to. Anyone that's grabbing money, money grabbers and preachers for money, that I'm strongly opposed to. I don't agree also with cults that are out there that control people. Now here I am, I'm not trying to attack anybody, and just because one is evangelical free or Baptist or Pentecostal, I am not saying that they're not saved and I don't agree with any of them or anything like that. I have great friends, good friends that are saved and they're Baptists. I got friends that are Pentecostal and they're saved. But at the same time, in those organizations, in those churches, be evangelical free, you name it, there are saved people, but also there's unsaved people there. They go to church and they think they might be saved, but they're not. So you got a lot of people in different churches within different denominations that are not saved, that they do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So individuals vary from here to there. Places vary. Organizations vary. So that's what I will say about that. I'm going to leave that there. Hoping that I'm making things very clear here. Some of the big things I don't agree with my own Pentecostal teaching or doctrine, I would oppose that the earth, as many of them teach that the earth is millions of years old or billions of years old. But when I study the Bible gives us a genealogy. It gives us a timeline. And the way I read it, the scripture, at good, at best, should I say at best, the earth is about 1,000 years old. And I believe in Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, where the Bible says that God made the earth and everything in it in 6 days. That was 6 literal days that God created. It was a week for understanding that God made everything that exists. So, and also, I do not agree with the Pentecostals, which I don't know where they got this from, but it's not biblical. It's a theory that there was a pre-Adamic race of people, some type of being or a person that later would become demons, which once again, it's a theory. It has no evidence. There's nothing in the Bible that tends to lean to that or say that. So I do not teach that. I do not believe that. There's also a mystery of the Bible. Like once again, in the book of Genesis chapter 6, there's a place where many have debated theologians for way before all of us existed. The theologians will be perplexed about this. It's a mystery of the scripture. And some theologians see it one way, others see it another way, that angels had intercourse with women. And I tend to lean to, I don't believe that. And, you know, it's a good debate. It's something that I want to bring up later on in a different podcast. It's a great debatable subject for another time. Like I said, I tend to lean to the nay, but I can make an argument for both sides. I can see how is on both sides you could come to different conclusions. So, I really want to bring a program about that. That's pretty interesting. What I find to me, studying it frontwards and backwards, asking God for revelation more about it, that I tend to lean to the nay, but, we're going to leave that for another discussion another time. But thank you, Jesus. But I want to thank you guys for joining in, coming to listen and tuning in to this, and it's a blessing that you're here. I want to turn to something else. I want to share with you guys why I decided to give the title of this podcast, Fight the Good Fight. And I think it's important. I want to start off as to why I named it this way. First of all, we find it in the scripture. The Apostle Paul encourages us that we are in a fight. He lets us know we're in a fight. And Ephesians tells us to put on the full armor of God, right? Because the enemy is going to fight for your faith. He's going to fight against what we believe. And he has been doing it for a very, very long time, way before our existence. See? So we are up against an enemy that's attacking us on all sides, on every issue. And Timothy, the pastor Timothy, Paul tells him to fight the good fight, to keep battling. See, if those Christians had a fight in their hands, you and I, more than ever, Christians, believers of the Lord, have a big fight on us. See, the devil, the Bible says in John 10:10, Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And we see him do that throughout the whole world, in our neighborhoods, communities, in our news. You hear it, how much the devil is destroying this this world more and more and more. The book of Isaiah tells us that the time is getting darker, telling us that everything's getting more evil and evil and evil. Okay? So it's time for the church to stand. It's time for the church to get in the ring, put on their boxing gloves, pick up their sword and their shield of faith, and fight to take a stand of our beliefs in the Bible and believe in Jesus and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, because we are up against the devil, the unseen enemy, and he's attacking our beliefs, our morals on all sides. Our schools, our children, amen, the next generation. Yeah, he's bringing in and drugs that are even worse than there ever have been. It's killing people in minutes. All right, it used to be a slow death in drugs, and now they're dying record numbers. Suicide an all-time high. We had a pandemic that caused a lot of depression and crazy things. Craziness has gone on in this world. And more than ever, also, we have to fight the good fight, because so-called Christians have even turned their true faith and now have become an enemy within. Now, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but the devil has created false prophets, false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing, who have turned and have now, thinking that they're right with God, are doing the devil's work within the church, and brought in entertainment, brought in all kinds of compromise, all kinds of worldliness in the church. See, because of the unseen enemy, the devil, we have a real fight in our culture. We have a fight in our country, fight for even our freedom of speech, which God gave us in this country of America, so we can use to speak the good news of Jesus Christ. No matter what political lines you have, it's about talking about Jesus, bringing people to the cross. You know, so we need to help and pray even for the lost generations today who are really lost in this world, that don't have role models, and they're lost. They're without direction right now. And us as Christians have to stand and live the Bible and pray and speak the truth. Fight the good fight, Christian soldier. And so we are in the battle and standing up against false doctrine, standing up against enemies within the church that are so-called Christians that compromise and have teaching false ways and have hurt a lot of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why today a lot of people don't trust the church. A lot of people have been hurt by many churches and the example of Jesus Christ. Of course, God knows, he's all wise, and he knows how to make that. He knows how to judge all that fairly. He will know how to judge all that fairly. He knows who and where, who got hurt and all those things. We got to leave it to the Lord. But we are in a battle, and it is the hour that we need to pray. And just like Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight. And that's what this podcast, and my prayer is that this podcast will encourage you to do that, will give you a strength and encouragement. And that's my prayer, and give you hope that we will stand together fighting the good fight of faith until the Lord Jesus comes back for us. And so that's the reason I have this title. Now I'm going to turn and I'm going to share with you a little bit of my testimony. I've been saved for 28 years. I've been doing ministry for 27 years, and majority of the ministry I have, I've been involved with has to do with rehabilitating men and women of drug addiction, you know, teaching them and sharing with them and discipling them, all across Texas and, ministry. So I give God the honor and the glory for using me for so many years and helping me through that. My testimony begins back in 1985, right? Just of 1985, my parents were lost in sin. And we were come from a family, it's a good family, hardworking family. You know, my grandfather was a hardworking man. It was a hardworking family. And he taught his children to work hard. And my parents had me very young. My parents had me when they were in high school. And so they didn't get to, they had to be adults quickly. And went into the workforce right away. And so with all that, you know, didn't get a chance to, I guess, enjoy their youth. They just had me, and it was time to had to provide. And the only concept of God we had was in our home was tradition. By tradition was we're Catholics. That's what we thought we were. We didn't know too much about God. And the extent of God was the little church that was down the street from us in my neighborhood, was a Catholic church. We would pass and give the sign of the cross. And I believe I was baptized as a little baby there, but in that Catholic church. But we probably only went when there was a funeral there, as far as I remember. And sometimes I would think, if there was a God, he lived there inside that church. When we passed by, maybe God's in there. I don't know. That's the extent of God we knew. That's it. And I didn't really give much thought about it. And we would have stayed that way. But the Lord had a plan and reached out to us and to my family. And my Uncle Roger was working with this man that was going to the church. And he witnessed to my uncle. My uncle was, you know, working, but, you know, drinking and doing whatever else, lost in sin. And my uncle went to church with him, and I guess he invited him, and he got saved. And my uncle brought my Aunt Margie to church. She got saved. And my dad was lost in alcohol. You know, my dad was abusive to me and my brother, my mom, lost in sin. He's very young. Like I said, they were young. And I guess he was thrust upon having a family right away and drank. And that's how he got by. See? And this man came by. My uncle sent them to my house. And I remember this man with a beard comes in. Right? And my dad was drinking a beer. And he had it there in the coffee table. I think he was watching football or something. This man came in and started to tell my dad, witness to him about Jesus. I didn't hear the words he uttered, but I know he was telling them about God and inviting them to church. And my dad drinking there in front of him. And this man, his name was Richard Reyes. He became a pastor, Pastor Richard Reyes, and inviting them to church. Well, anyways, we ended up going to church. We went to a church downtown in San Antonio, Texas, named the Victory Temple. And me and my little brother went downstairs to the children's church. They had a basement down there where the children were. And I could only vision. I could only see this. I didn't see my parents go up those steps to the main church. But I can envision them going up those steps, because I climbed those steps. I walked those, I went up those steps many times, and I could just see them go into the temple. And as they went in one way, lost in sin, they came out differently. Now think about that. What if that was their only chance? They went in, and for the power of God and the anointing, they were convinced to give their life to Jesus that very night. And they changed. They bought Bibles. They saw Christian programs, and they led us to church. And we were always a church. That church was a 24/7 church. There was always had something going on. So every day after my parents got off work, we were always at the church. Of course, as me as a kid, I hated it. Me and my brother were dragged there, and we didn't like it very much, but we went, and we're always in church from that time, and all the time. And then my dad decided he wanted to learn how to play music for God, the guitar. And so he got discipled by a man, a beautiful family minister, who was a professional musician. His name was Matias Munoz and Janie Munoz. And we were always at their house. Either we were at church, a rally, doing something for God, or we were at their house. And my dad always learning from Matias Munoz about ministry and music. And so that was it. And as a kid, when I would go to school, I would hide the fact that I was going to church. I didn't want my friends to make fun of me. I thought it was weak. I thought it was weak to be a Christian. I thought it was, like, you know, shameful. So I hid it for many years. I acted like the kids in the school, cussing and telling dirty jokes and all that, laughing at things. Even when I would go to the children's church, we would act up and misbehave. But that's another story for another time. But my parents got saved. And like I was mentioning, we're in a battle, folks. So my parents, we would minister. My dad ended up being sent to minister in rallies and singing and playing the guitar in chapels and different parts of the city that Pastor Freddy Garcia had launched out, different pastors, and we would go and do ministry everywhere. And so that was it. That's what I learned about God and Christianity. And then my parents slipped away from God for after a few years. And that's when the devil came in as an opportunity, and he started to do the work. And as they left the things of God, the devil didn't stop. He hit them and he attacked, and also began with me. And that's when the door that I had was open, and I started to take the street. I embraced everything the devil had for me, because I hated going to church as a kid. I wanted the world. And so I turned to drugs. I turned to my friends, to gangbanging. And it got bad all through my middle school years and high school years. You know, I thought I was going to serve in the devil's world for years. I was even being prepared to go to prison, which we used to call college. That was our college in the barrio, because when the neighborhood I come from was predominantly Mexican-American, right, Chicano. And all my neighborhood was nothing but violence, drugs. And so that was the influence around me. And that's what I thought my life was going to be. I'm trying to make a story short that I dropped out of high school. I started doing drugs. At first, it was for fun. At first, it's because I liked it. Then secondly, I started needing the drug. I started needing it. At first, I wanted it. Now, I was needing it. And I started to steal. Take from anybody. I started to so I could get high. and even started stealing from my own family. And I was in bad shape. I even put my family in danger with some of the gang wars that I was in. They shot my house. You know, I put my family in danger. The police were already investigating me. And I was only 18 years old, lost in sin. And I lost it. And I wouldn't come home for days. I would take the street and stay away. And it was one night where I got high. And somehow I was at home. I got real high and I went into my room and I started passing out. I had a drug overdose. And my mom found me and helped me, and she took me to the emergency room. And right away, they took me in, put me on a stretcher, gave me IVs, AKG. I mean, they were helping me with oxygen to breathe. And I was coming in and out. And at that moment, I had nothing. I was going nowhere, no direction. And for me, I thought I was going to be in the devil's kingdom for years, because my mom would tell me, you just need to come back to Jesus. She was concerned for me. And I told her, I would tell her, the devil's my God. And I said, and I would get high and so on. I said, man, my parents want me to go to church. I don't want church. I'm going to come to church when I'm like 30-something, bro, when I'm old. I thought 30s was old. And but God had another plan, man. And right there in the hospital, I cried out to God, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of the barrio rallies that we would have in the drug crime-fested neighborhood from the church that we used to go to, right? We used to have these outdoor rallies, and I would see these men that I would look up to crying with their tattooed arms lifted up in the air, crying to a God named Jesus. And there, the Holy Spirit brought that to my memory. And I said, God, if you're real, and everything that they told me, I'm going to die and I'm going to go to hell. So if you're real and you change those drug addicts, those hardcore thugs, those jailbirds, those vato locos, you could come and change my heart. I don't want to die. I'm young. And if you save me, give me another chance, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And there, I hadn't took a bath for 3 days. I was out in the street. And Jesus, I felt his presence come, his hand, and got a hold of my heart. And it's like he squeezed it like a sponge. And I started crying. Tears came down my eyes. I hadn't cried like that for a very long time. I had so much anger and hate towards everybody. And God removed all that. And in an instant, milliseconds, God broke the chains of addiction, of sin. And God changed me. He became real in my life. And that moment, God came and I was born again. Jesus was inside my heart. And from that moment on, I began to love Jesus, learn about him. Went to the church that my parents took me when I was young and got involved there. But that night when I went home, early that morning, I went home, tore down posters, threw away rap music, rock music, Tejano, everything that I had. I threw it all away and I asked my mom for a taste. She had one little Christian tape and I wore that tape out, man. I would sleep there. I would sleep with the Bible. I got sick with withdrawals through the sickness of my body flushing out all the drugs. But, you know, Jesus set me free. And I'll leave you with this thing too. When I became a new creation, when God touched my heart, a few days later, I went outside and everything looked bright. Everything looked beautiful. Flowers, heard the birds. I was in joy, man. I had so much joy. And I tripped and almost fell or something happened and I cussed. And right there and then, I felt guilty for the first time. See, like my pastor, Freddy Garcia, used to say, our vocabulary used to be 80, 90% cuss words. That was me. Nothing but cuss words, one after another, or every other word. That was the extent of my vocabulary. And when I cussed, I felt guilty. And right there and then, I said, Jesus, forgive me for saying a bad word. Forgive me, God. I was sorry. And that was called conviction. That's how I knew something different was inside of me. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to read my Bible. I wanted to be around the Lord's presence. That's how you know God got a hold of my life. And from that day on, I've been serving Jesus. Sure, it wasn't an easy road because I came to Jesus at a young age. But God became real. And God wants to become real to you. And God wants to do a miracle in you, or you know somebody that's hurting, tell them about the love of God. Jesus can set anybody free. And God, from that time on, has been working in my life. And to this day, I'm glad, and I'll give God all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And so my prayer is that you get to know Jesus. And I thank you. Thank you for joining me today in this podcast. And my prayer is for you. God loves you. God will bless you and help you. And we have so much more in store. You know, if you are struggling with something, if you need help, call upon the name of Jesus. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So call upon him today. God is waiting for you. If maybe you have been backsliding, maybe you have been running from God, some things that you're hurting, give it to the Lord. He's ready to help you. So I pray for you. May the Lord be with you. God bless you. And continue to join in. We'll have so much, so many things to discuss. So many, I have so much plans, so much good things that are going to happen. I got pastors and line up for interviews and their testimony and what they're doing for the Lord. May God bless you. Hope to see you soon again. Bye-bye.